Over. Your Bucks postgame show starts now. Welcome to Bucks Talk. Insight, analysis, and your chance to sound off on the game you just heard. Now to break it all down, here's your host, Justin Garcia.
Well, yet another game where the Bucks find themselves in a clutch situation. And as we've seen more often than not in those spots this season, they prevail. But sooner or later, you're going to want to avoid playing in those spots. Because if we're being frank, when you play a large amount of games that are dubbed those clutch games, so within 5 points, either up or down, at any point during the final 5 minutes of the game, the teams that have a high volume of those specific types of games are usually not your top-tier teams. It is okay to take things away from that performance. It's okay to look at your win-loss record or your winning percentage in those games. It is perfectly fine to point to some of your defensive metrics, your offensive rating, anything else that sticks out. How does your offense execute in those spots? Those are all well and good, and those are fine to do, but you don't want to continue to point to the number of those games that team has had. You got away from that against the New York Knicks last week in a blowout, but it crept up again in the in-season tournament against the Indiana Pacers. You've had two of these types of games now against the Chicago Bulls, and this is the most common type of performance we have seen from the Bucks so far this season. 855-616-1620, the number to join us tonight on Bucks Talk, and get your thoughts on what is starting to become a high, high volume of these close games we have seen this team playing. Look, you can take positives away from that as well beyond what we just went over. It is good, certainly, to figure out ways to win these games, a multiple variations of ways that we have seen the Bucks win these types of games. But at some point, you'd like to see the volume of these games and the scores, point differentials, start to increase in these regular season games that the Bucks have played. Again, 855-616-1620, the number to join us tonight on Bucks Talk. Let's head to the phone lines and kick things off with Dick in Port Washington. Dick, before you get to your point about tonight's game, your thoughts on the in-season tournament now that we've seen it completed. Did it change at all?
Thank God it's over. Is that the end of it?
Yes, that's the end of that.
All right. I want to go to what's important. I mean, what's important is the name, Joe, and this other stuff is Barnum and Bailey. But I don't want to go there. You know, these close games, I'm going to give you an analogy here. Yeah, Gorman Thomas, I don't know if you're old enough to remember him playing baseball with the Brewers. Okay. Oh, he made great catches in center field. The reason he made the great catches is because he was out of position or played the ball wrong. So the Bucks are just like them. You know, we're out of position. We're not playing the ball right, but we still win. I have defended the coach numerous times when all those idiots early in the season said, we got to get rid of him, got to get rid of him. There's some issues here that I find disturbing. And some of this I probably should have waited till Wednesday to talk about. But here's my take on this. Remember, he was hired before Damian was part of the Bucks. Mm-hmm. Okay? If Drew Holiday was here, I think he would have been a better coach because let's just play with what we have. All of a sudden, a first-year coach got two superstars and a starting lineup that is really solid, and I'm not so sure he can handle that. I'm not to the point yet where those idiots were, but I'll say this. The focus better be on beating Indiana, and if we beat them close or in overtime, the drums are going to just get louder. If we're blown out, I think the Bucks are going to have to make a hard decision what to do. Because now, because of this World Cup final we had, we played these guys five times, and we're going to be down 3-0.
You lose the season series.
Yeah, you lose the season series. Now, I'm not there yet. Justin, I'm not there yet. I think he can learn. But I'm also starting to wonder, when I listen to him post-game, he had to take a Dale Carnegie course on dealing with the media and the public, because he takes the blame, which is noble, I guess, but at some point you got to say more than that. I'm not there yet. I'm not there yet, but I'm starting to see that. I question myself as to where he is at. If we had a veteran coach, and I hate Nick Nurse big time, but he would have been able to get this group going better with two superstars, and Chris is playing great. That's another thing, too. Where was he takes them off for like 30 seconds and puts them back in? And where was Portis in the fourth quarter? Now, again, I'm not there. But Wednesday night's going to be a tipping point for me. What do you say?
Wednesday night's going to be interesting. I want to get to that in a second. But to the larger point that you made, I think it's fair to say there are some things that we have seen that you may raise an eyebrow at. And I think we're aligned in that I'm not ready to jump to any broad conclusions after 23 games that, you know, really – if we get through December, and a lot of the common refrain that we've had of, man, you got to clean up the rebounds, and transition continues to be a killer, and why are there these random quarters defensively where everything just seems to fall apart? If that continues as we get past December, and at that point you're going to be at probably 35-ish games that you're looking at here, then you're starting to move closer and closer to the old it is what it is, and you are who you are when that starts to pile up. I've still maintained, look, this is probably going to be like a 35 to 40 game process before everything feels like it's starting to round into place, but you still need to see some steps in the right direction. And I think what we've seen from this group so far is you do have some of those steps forward, but then you take a spill down the hill and the steps come backwards. So now, to borrow from Mike McCarthy, I am just looking for this team to stack successes. Find one thing that works, keep doing it, and build on it that way.
Oh, God. You said Mike McCarthy. Oh, Justin. My God. That's horrible. He's gone. Mike McCarthy's gone. But here's another guy I'm concerned about, is that Giannis kept saying, okay, I understand this. In the fourth quarter, it's Dame's game. When are we going to see that?
We've seen it a couple of times. We certainly didn't see it tonight.
Yeah. I mean, it's so hard to judge Dame because he's expressionless. On the bench. Whatever. Okay? But he missed how many shots tonight? Okay? I'm also concerned, and this is from the dark web, and I don't know if I can believe it, but the guy that reported Portis' blow-up with Griffin was Dame's guy. So how did this guy get the information of what happened in the locker room? God forbid Dame gave it to him, because that's going to blow up this team.
Yeah, look, I think it's fair to say we need some more time with this group, but it's also fair to say, look, we'll give you time to keep moving in the right direction, but we do need to see things get better, and we can't see the fact that the most consistent thing with this team so far has been inconsistency. Now, I will say this about Adrian Griffin. I talked about quite a bit earlier in the season that I think it does say something that he was willing to scrap everything he had envisioned for this team four games in and revert to something that his players were more comfortable with. And the other thing to point out is you know, we do have to mention whenever anybody will say, well, why would you try to run that system in the first place with this personnel group? That is a fair question, but it's fair to point out, well, up until a week before training camp began, Adrian Griffin thought he was going to have Drew Holiday as the guy that was running that part of the defense and helping out a lot on the perimeter.
Yep. And, you know, I don't blame him for switching because it didn't work last year.
Yep.
You know, against Miami. So I don't blame that. I give him credit for changing, but at some point, a head coach has to be the head coach. I know it's crazy. I think the biggest game of the year so far is this Wednesday. If we're blown out, you're going to have to look in the mirror if you're the Bucs and decide where you're going. This team is too darn good with the players. We're better than when we won the championship. In my mind, and I guess I'm so biased, but we're better than the 2021 team. I'm really getting a concern, and I'm sure you don't remember, but when those idiots cited all this stuff on the internet, I called in and I blasted the heck out of them. Because you got to give this guy a chance. I'm starting to wonder. That's all I'm saying, and I'll talk to you Wednesday.
Yeah, sounds good, Dick. And look, for me, I'm still going to circle. I'll say January 4th that I'll circle on the calendar because I believe that is a 13-game sample between now and then. That would bring you up to 36 games on the season, so essentially half of your season played. And I mention that date specifically because that is one day after you wrap up back-to-back games against the Indiana Pacers, who Dick just said will be the biggest matchup so far of the season.
Yeah.
So to me,
okay,
that's the area to look at, is once you get through that, you're done with the Pacers, you're close to half your games played, we better see things headed in a consistent direction that we all anticipated.
I got one more thing to say, though. If this blows up, the more time Doc Rivers has to take over this team, the better we'll be.
Let's hope it doesn't get to that, Dick. We will we'll check in with you on Wednesday.
I do too. I hope it doesn't get to that. And that was a smart-ass response, but it's reality, though, too, maybe. Talk to you Wednesday.
All right, we'll talk to you Wednesday after the game of the year for the Bucks, between the Bucks and the Pacers. 855-616-1620, the number to join us tonight on Bucks Talk. A few more calls trickling in. We will get to you after this. As again, Bucks do win. They outlast the Bulls in overtime, but yet another game where it came down to the final few minutes of this game. The Bucks needed to pull this one out. More after this on Bucks Talk. 133-129, our final here at Fiserv Forum. It's the Bucks outlasting the Chicago Bulls in overtime. And yes, another game in that clutch category. The Bucks do win once again in that spot, but we are starting to see a high, high volume of these games. And tonight it was Giannis's turn to be the guy that takes over down the stretch, finishing with 32 points, 8 of 11 shooting in the second half and overtime. 32 points, 12 rebounds, and 6 assists for Giannis in the win. So we got some thoughts from Dick in Port Washington, who is not quite at the panic level, but it did sound as though his hand is hovering and it's ready to pounce if we see any prolonged stretches of this team regressing. I'm curious to see where everyone else is at, because look, it is good to execute down the stretch. I don't want to make it sound like this is a bad thing to find ways to win these types of games. I think what you would point to is the volume of these games and the number of times this season already that the Bucks have had to win in these spots. 855-616-1620 is the number to join us tonight on Bucks Talk. Let's head back to the phones and talk with Will I Am in Milwaukee. What's going on tonight, Will?
Yo, Justin, what a game, man. Grit, heart, ambition, all on display. I do have a point, and then I got two questions for you. The resilience of these teams in the third and fourth quarters is, I would say, temperature boiling due to the fact that they seem to hit every shot. And knowing that that's coming at times, it's hard to anticipate what was next. And the way we ended up, putting it into overdrive and overtime is great, but I do have two concerning questions. One of the concerns that bothers me is sometimes the effort, it might be for a stretch of a minute to 2 minutes, it doesn't seem there, and all of the teams that we have faced seem to stick around and then just start streaking. Like Coach Griffin said, the game is up streak and runs. It just gets kind of scary coming down to these games with teams that we should be up by 15 to 20 if we keep our foot on the pedal. And then my last question for you that I'll let you field here is late game ball bringing up. Not really much of a fan of seeing Chris Middleton bring the ball up. Same with Giannis. I truly love seeing Dame run and execute the offense. And I think we do get a little sloppy at times. And my question to you, I'm happy with what I'm seeing coaching-wise. I like the rotation. I understand that we do, allow teams to get their way back in the game. But my question to you is, going forward, do they change who brings the ball up late? And do they get a little bit more aggressive in the rotation by having Dame and Giannis play the whole fourth quarter? What do you think, Justin?
I don't know about I think the last part is dependent on game situation and what it is. If it's a playoff game, if it's close to it, if it's a game they absolutely need in the regular season, maybe. I think the big thing is just the final, especially 6 minutes. But once you get to that 8-9 minute mark, to have those guys on the floor is big. In terms of who brings it up, I mean, look, I've heard it from quite a few people, and we've heard quite a lot of the clamoring for who shouldn't be bringing the ball up, who should be. I completely agree that, look, Damian Lillard's the guy that everything should funnel through late. He's the point guard. He is the guy that should be initiating things. Giannis is going to do that at times. And, when you see what he did tonight, when you see the passing that Giannis had in the first half tonight as well, all six of those assists came in the first 24 minutes, it's tough to argue against that. I think to your point and what you're getting at specifically is the final minute, 2 minutes of the games. Yeah, that's where you want Damian Lillard in control. But look, I do think part of what we saw tonight where Damian Lillard, I don't want to say passive, but had that sequence where he did not bring the ball up the floor and kind of initiated to Chris Middleton, no, you take it. And that's when Chris went 1 of 2 at the free throw line. I think part of that was just what the night was. It was a rough night for Damian Lillard in terms of his efficiency, his shooting overall, and he had just missed a big free throw in this game a couple of minutes prior to that. So I think that kind of tied in as well. But yeah, there's no question the Bucks need to be a lot more crisp, and we heard some of that coming out over the weekend from Chris Haynes. There needs to be some more organization. They can still be a little too loose with the ball. All these things, you just look back to the first 24 minutes of this game and say, can we bottle this? And how do we do this more consistently? Because in that first half, the Bucks had 20 assists on 26 field goals. They had one turnover. They outscored the Bulls on second chance points. Bulls had more offensive rebounds, but the Bucks did more with theirs. So all these areas that have kind of crept up and bit the Bucks throughout the course of this season, they cleaned up and they did a much better job there. When he got to the second half, and that third quarter especially, we heard Billy Donovan talk for about 15 minutes prior to this game about a young Bulls team that's growing, that's learning, a lot of their young players, what he's seen from them. And he used the terminology of process and results quite a bit in that, look, at times you can look at the results and say, we won 8 in a row, and pointed to a sequence the Bulls had a season ago when they won 6 or 7 games in a row, and everybody thought, we're figuring things out, we're winning. But as he said, as you combed over everything in those games, when we would review film, we would see so much stuff that we were getting lucky with, that we weren't executing on, and we thought the results were rewarding bad process here. That was basically the third quarter for the Bucks. When, look, they were outscored. They only scored 17 points. But some of the areas you looked at and said, well, they still had a decent amount of assists in the field goals that they had. All of them were assisted in that quarter. That's the quarter where we saw a lot less ball movement. Yes, they scored or assisted on those scored field goals, but all the misses, I think I counted 7 isolation plays that they were 0 for 7 on. There was just a lot more 1 and 2 players touching the ball and you were done after quick shots. That wasn't how they worked in the first half. And that's when we've seen this offense really come to life and things start to click was the ball movement. It started, and this is not to place any blame on Giannis or call him out. It started when Giannis did not play, and Damian Lillard kind of looked more comfortable that game against the Raptors. Ball movement galore, getting everybody involved. That's when Malik Beasley started to heat up and hit shots as well. He did that in the first half tonight. Brook Lopez did as well. So this team, yes, you have those two superstars in Giannis and Damian Lillard, but the way it's constructed, and especially with your defense, it can't be an isolation offense. You need to keep that ball movement going. And for as good as the Bucks were in that first half, Damian Lillard and Giannis were not scoring the ball. So that shows you, I know it was the Bulls, but there still is a recipe for success with this team moving the ball and Giannis and Dame not just scoring 70 combined points.
Right, Justin, all nailing that on the head. And like you said, the little small lapses with the one-on-ones without the ball movement sticking to our bread and butter can cause, as we saw tonight, a run that allows the Bulls to get right back at our doorstep. And, you know, I don't mind the ISOs. I don't mind the shot selections. But some of them were only 5-6 seconds into the shot clock and then leading to a 3-second outlet to a layup. And against good teams like Indiana, we saw ourselves get torched. And I was happy to see in overtime that we had to really step up and bring it together and go back to what we were doing, driving the ball, getting to the line, getting the continuation, and playing the type of basketball we know, Justin, Bucks ball. And I don't like that one-third of the game looks kind of, but I'm happy with the outcome. You know, a win's a win. The wins aren't easy in this league. And I'm just happy that we were able to close it out, overtime or not. Go Bucks, baby.
Yeah, thanks for the call. And look, I agree that there, it's not to say don't ever have isolation plays. There is a time and a place for them, but heat checks. And when a guy has really started to heat up, those are the spots for it. It's not when you just missed your first 3 field goals of the half and you think you're going to get it going with a quick 3-pointer. Like, you got to be more diligent about some of that shot selection that we've seen for 48 minutes now, not just for one quarter or two quarters or the final 5 minutes of the game. So that's one of the other things we point to, that it's going to take time with that chemistry, too, that continues to develop offensively. I do think we saw a couple of flashes of that, especially in the first half, but I do want to get to that and some of the wrinkles that we saw defensively from Giannis. We'll get to those after this on Bucks Talk.
WTMJ, W277-CV, and WKTI HD2 Milwaukee from the Annex Wealth Management Studios. This is News Radio WTMJ, a Good Karma brand station.
Joint pain, you have it?
Bucks outlast the Bulls here at Fiserv Forum, 133-129, our score in overtime. Only the second overtime game the Bucks have played this season. They've both been against the Bulls. They lost in Chicago, and they win tonight in Milwaukee. So with this result, your updated look at the numbers, the Bucks have now played 14 clutch games this season. That is the second most in the NBA. And here's the group that the Bucks are around. So the team that has played the fewest is the Washington Wizards. Now, I mentioned when you play a high volume of these clutch games, more often than not, that is a marker for, and I'm not saying this is what the Bucks are, but when you get to the end of the season and you look at how many games did we play in the clutch, if it's a lot, more often than not, you're a mediocre team. Maybe a good team, you're not a great team, you're not one of those upper-tier teams. You're a team that's going to hang around in games. You find ways to win. Some of them don't go your way. But you're at that level where you're right in line with a lot of other teams. If you don't play in a lot of clutch games, you're one of two ends of the spectrum. either the Washington Wizards, who have played the fewest in the league so far, or you're the Minnesota Timberwolves, who have been one of the best teams in the league this season. Timberwolves have played 8 clutch games. Wizards have played 7. Wizards are one of the worst teams in the league. Second worst record in the Eastern Conference. Timberwolves are one of the best. If you're very good, you're winning a lot of games by double figures. You're not in that spot in the final 5 minutes of the game where it's a 2-possession game. If you're really bad, you're getting blown out, and you're not in those spots. So that's the thing. That's the marker to keep an eye on for the volume of these clutch games we have seen the Bucks play. But 14 is the second most in the league. Phoenix Suns have also played 14. You have a gaggle of teams that have played 13. The Atlanta Hawks, a mediocre team. The Charlotte Hornets, maybe worse than mediocre. This Chicago Bulls team has played 13. Then you have perhaps the outliers. Maybe the Bucks are one of those outliers, but the Denver Nuggets, the Oklahoma City Thunder. But then we drop right back to the San Antonio Spurs, the Toronto Raptors, and the Cleveland Cavaliers have played 12 games. So that's where the Bucks currently sit. The team that's played more clutch games than them this season is, again, one of those teams that through this sample size we've seen this season, you do question, have they lost the magic that they previously owned? Are they maybe just a mediocre team? And that is the Golden State Warriors, who have played 18 clutch games this season. So I mention all of these numbers because you can't deny the Bucks have, while they've played too many, you could argue, they've found ways to win. Their 10 wins in those situations is the most in the NBA. The Warriors have won 9. They've also lost 9. The Dallas Mavericks are 8-2. For the longest time, the Dallas Mavericks were 8-1, and that one loss was to the Bucks. The Denver Nuggets are 8-5. The Indiana Pacers are 8-4. The Lakers are 8-3. The Thunder are 8-5. Those are good teams. So it's important to find ways to win. You want to have a good win percentage in those situations and scenarios. You just don't want a high volume of those. 10-4, though, for the Bucks. 10 wins is the most in the clutch, and they have the fourth best offense by way of offensive rating in those final 5 minutes, 125.3. The three teams they trail are the New York Knicks at 128.9, the Oklahoma City Thunder at 130.9, and the Indiana Pacers, who are just running away from everyone in every single offensive metric, 133.7. The Bucks' defensive rating in the clutch is 98.7. They are one of four teams in the NBA with a defensive rating less than 100 in those scenarios. Bucks fourth best at 98.7. Timberwolves third best at 98.5. The Kings second best at 97.6. And the Los Angeles Lakers have a defensive rating of 93.8 in the clutch. And lastly, the net rating, Bucks have the best in the NBA. On paper, in the clutch, they have won the most, and they have the best net rating. Therefore, they've been the best team in these spots. That's the positive to take from this. The other end of it is, can we maybe reduce the amount of these games? A 26.7 net rating that the Bucks have posted in the clutch this season. 855-616-1620, the number to join us tonight on Bucks Talk. When we come back, I mentioned some of the growth and that chemistry continuing to build that I think we started to see in the first half of this team, and some interesting defensive wrinkles we saw from Giannis. We'll get to that after this on Bucks Talk. 133-129, the final here at Fiserv Forum. The Bucks outlast the Bulls, and again, improved to 10-4 now in clutch games. Giannis key tonight, 32 points, 12 rebounds, 6 assists, and 2 steals. But 8 of 11 from the field in the second half, and 14 of 18 at the free throw line. One of those 4 misses was a 10-second violation. You knew it was a matter of time before it happened this season, and the first time it did was tonight. You take that out, Giannis 14 of 17 on free throws he actually attempted in this game. 855-616-1620 is the old National Bank talk and text line to join us tonight on Bucks Talk. And by the way, the commotion you hear in the background. It is Greek night at Fiserv Forum tonight, so we have roughly 200 or so fans still in the building waiting to hear from Giannis and Thanasis, who are expected to appear on the court momentarily. So that's the commotion you're hearing in the background. But speaking of Giannis, I mentioned that chemistry and the long burn that it's taking for this chemistry to continue to reach its peak with this Bucks team. I think we started to see some glimpses of that turning the corner, maybe a bit much, but continue to see that build in this first half. There was a couple of plays that I know this team worked on in practice recently. As Adrian Griffin said before the game, you know, we had a couple of days of practice, and I think we carried that over into the first half. We got back from Vegas Friday, yet off Saturday. We practiced that day. We practiced Sunday. We had a shoot-around this morning. That's the other big part of this team having such a home-heavy slate in the month of December is when you get to this point of the season, you don't really practice in the way that we view that. You'll have things like walkthrough. You'll go through film. You'll practice in that sense. But when you think about practice and five-on-five and open court, you don't really have a chance to do that during the season. Bucks are basically going to be at home for a month. You had that brief trip to Vegas for a couple of days. You had at the very end of November a bus trip to Chicago against the Bulls. But outside of that, they're going to be home until December 1st, 22nd, when you leave for New York to play two games against the Knicks, one against the Brooklyn Nets, and then wrap things up in Cleveland against the Cavaliers. I mention that because being at home gives you a chance to do that. Having this extended six-game homestand gives you a chance to do things like that, to practice, to have more film session, to have more walkthroughs. And I think that's another big, big opportunity for this team to continue to turn the corner and develop that chemistry. But a couple of those passes, but again, you get the sense, these are things they worked on in practice. Damian Lillard at times was feeding Giannis, where it was almost like a football pass, where he puts it to the spot knowing he's not there yet, but that's where he's going to get. It was the anticipation, and it was Giannis essentially telling Dame, look, this is what I'm going to do. This is where I like to get the ball. Don't worry if I'm not there yet. I'll be there. Just do it. We saw that on two separate possessions in the first half. And that's another sign of this team developing that chemistry and figuring things out, taking that offense to the next level. We even saw Brook Lopez feeding Giannis on a lob in this game. You can think about all the lobs we've seen Giannis take throughout the years. We've seen it come from Drew Holiday. We've seen a couple from Grayson Allen. We've seen a lot from Chris Middleton. We've seen Damian Lillard feed him already this season. Eric Bledsoe. I don't remember ever seeing Brook Lopez feed Giannis on a lob prior to what we saw tonight. So that's another one of those signs. But the other thing I mentioned, we saw a couple of wrinkles from Giannis. And I think the big thing to note, part of what we saw tonight, Giannis, I mentioned this, just let the game come to him. Two field goal attempts in the first half, he still found a way to be dominant, to have an impact on this game without scoring the basketball. While he's averaged 30 points a game and he's done so efficiently, I think it's safe to say, look, he could be doing more on the offensive end. The reason why he may not be doing that, it isn't just Damian Lillard and having another alpha and another number one type scorer that you know, I can lean on this guy. I can rely on him to get some buckets at times. It's the fact that you have to ask more of Giannis defensively this season with no Drew Holiday. And I think as the season has progressed, we have seen him get much more comfortable in that role of essentially being the Swiss Army knife for this defense. Everything or most of the things that Drew Holiday did in the past, Giannis is starting to take some of those on. Not just taking on the toughest perimeter assignment per se and doing that for an extended period of time. He's not doing that, but he's doing it in help situations. He took Nikola Vucevic a couple of times tonight. He took DeMar DeRozan a couple of times tonight. He was switched out on the perimeter onto Kobe White a couple of times. that's what you're going to continue to see more and more of Giannis may be our best individual defender, he or Brook Lopez. So we're going to have to maximize that. We're going to have to use him in some of those spots. And I think it came up big twice late in this game. One of those, I mentioned it on the broadcast, he stepped out there and blitzed DeMar DeRozan. I believe it was Malik Beasley who still had the assignment. Either Beasley or Chris Middleton still had the assignment. But Giannis went out there, blitzed him on the perimeter to not let DeMar DeRozan get into his comfort zone and set things up the way he wanted to. He sped him up and forced a shot that resulted in a miss. The Bucks scored on the other end. He did the same thing to Kobe White just a couple of plays later. We haven't seen a whole lot of that this season, not blitzing. We've seen the Bucks do a lot of that. But Giannis specifically doing that with his length, his wingspan. We saw him force a couple of turnovers, too, to start fast breaks. Those are the ways you're going to look for this team to continue to use Giannis to help juice that defense and move that to the next level. Because as much as we've talked about the offense, the numbers point to where it is trended. Right? We mentioned where they currently sit in the clutch. Fourth quarter is a very, very similar story as well, where the Bucks prior to this game had the best offense in the league in the fourth quarter. They were in the middle of the pack defensively, but they still had the best net rating in the fourth quarter. Those numbers figure to go up after this performance tonight. But the offense we know is going to get to the point where it is elite, and it may be there now by way of their metrics. A 119 offensive rating is the third best offense in the NBA behind only the Pacers and the 76ers. The defense is still where you need to see that growth, and we've seen it continue to take some steps backward in the last couple of games. 23rd defense in the league right now. You really ideally want to see that sit somewhere between 13 and 15, give or take, to just be a league average defense with this offense continuing to make those strides where you figure our offense is going to be more than good enough that we can make up for it. And again, November 3rd, that date we continue to point to, the Bucks 15th in defensive rating. Middle of the pack from that point forward, they still sit with the third best offense. So that may be the best descriptor of where this team is at. We'll preview what's up next for the Bucks. Another matchup with the Indiana Pacers. If you're not sick of the Pacers yet, you will be by January 3rd. I guarantee you that. We'll preview the matchup with the Pacers and wrap things up after this on Bucks Talk. 133-129, our final here at Fiserv Forum. The Bucks outlast the Bulls in overtime. They're now 16-7 on the season. The second best record in the Eastern Conference. Second best record in, third best record in basketball. As they currently trail the Minnesota Timberwolves, who have the best record in the West at 17-5. Then you got the Boston Celtics, who are 16-5, and then the Magic and Bucks, both 16-7. 76ers won tonight, so they're 15-7, a half game back of the Bucks and the Magic. And you got the Indiana Pacers lurking at 13-8. So that sets up a big game Wednesday night as Indiana can improve to 14-8, and in doing so would drop the Bucks to 16-8. But more importantly, a win by the Pacers would clinch the season series. So if you need the head-to-head tiebreaker for either the Central Division or any type of playoff seeding, that would already belong to the Indiana Pacers if you lose that game on Wednesday. But the other big part of that is not only to see how did we grow, and I know it's less than a week, but how did we grow and get better since the last time we played the Pacers? It's also a good Pacers team. A lot of the skepticism surrounding their defense, similar to a lot of the calls that we've heard about the Bucks defense. You've heard it even more so about the Pacers because for as many questions as there have been about this Bucks defensive unit, there's even more for the Pacers. They have been posting a historically bad defensive rating. But what we have seen, and I think what the Bucks would cling to as well or point to, is when it matters, the Pacers offense has been unstoppable going up against other defenses, and that may be the ultimate path to success for the Bucks. So that should be a nice test once again to see this team for the third time already this season. Wednesday night, game number two in a six-game homestand. So you got the Pacers on Wednesday. You got the Detroit Pistons, who again may be on a 22-game losing streak by the time that game rolls around. Those are your first three. And then you got three rather intriguing games. The Houston Rockets, a back-to-back. They've been playing incredibly well to open up this young season. Ime Udoka has that young team playing very, very good. Victor Wembanyama, our first look at him in Milwaukee, will be next week. And you wrap up the homestand next Thursday against that aforementioned Orlando Magic team. So a lot more of these tests popping up on the calendar for the Bucks. Our next game broadcast, though, Wednesday night, the Bucks and the Pacers. 7 o'clock tip here at Fiserv Forum. 6:30 is when our pregame coverage begins. And as always, be sure to stick around after the game for Bucks Talk. Talk to you Wednesday night with more Bucks Talk.